We also can grab some more chairs for the back if we need it. But there are some lovely seats up front here. Thank you all so much for joining us tonight. We feel very fortunate to have such a committed community, so thank you so much for joining us. I'm Katie Wilson. I am part of the consulting team that's supporting. Is this?
It's working.
Okay. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay, sounds great. Okay, thank you. So I want to welcome everybody. I'm Katie Wilson. I am part of the consulting team that is supporting Clark County on this community engagement effort to help create a sustainability plan for Heritage Farms. We're so thankful that you took the time to come out here this evening. We have a short presentation to tell you a little bit more about the project, some of what's in store for the farm, and then we are really looking forward to some time to chat with you all as you circulate around the open house and learn more about what's happening at the farm from the amazing volunteers and partners who are doing great work there. So we just want to do a little bit of housekeeping. First of all, this meeting is being recorded. There are folks joining us virtually also to listen to this presentation. So we just want to keep that in mind this evening. There will be an opportunity for questions and comments at the end of the presentation. So if you have questions or comments, please hold them till then. Also, for those that are in person in this space, the restrooms can be found here or here. And of course, thank you, Rob. Of course, you already found the staircase and the elevator when you came in this evening. If you have not signed in, we would really appreciate it if you could sign in on the sign-in table. Clark's standing right next to the sign-in table. Thank you. For those of us joining online, we would appreciate it if you have any questions or comments. If you could please use the chat feature. And we have on the screen, we're showing you where to access the chat feature if joining on virtually is new to you. So please use the chat feature to share any comments or questions, and we will read those into the space during the question and comment period. If we get to that portion of the evening and we have a great turnout, we're not able to get through all the questions and comments, we do have comment cards, and we will be recording the chat online, so all of that will be recorded into the record for this meeting and considered as we move forward with the project. So with that, I would love to, first I'll go over the agenda and then I'll hand it off to you. So we just went over introductions. We have speakers here to talk to you about the sustainability plan, to review the 2020 master plan for Heritage Farm. I'll be sharing with you some of the work we've been doing, collecting information and feedback from the community using our community survey. And then we'll have our Q&A session, and then you'll have a great opportunity, like we chatted about, to circulate the room. So with that, I'll hand it off to Rocky. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Rocky, you have to stand
there. I stand over here.
Welcome again. I am Rocky Houston. I am the division manager for Parks and Land. So part of my portfolio is the farm. And so I'm glad to be here talking about the farm and having such a great turnout. It's always good when you don't have enough seats. We got plenty up front here, of course. I do buy, so be careful. So why are we here? Really, we're here to do a couple key things. Is to connect the community with the current farm users. So that's why around the room you'll see all of these displays to really allow you to understand what's going on there now. And then really is to talk about updating all of you. Make sure I'm still on that darn camera. On the current efforts to implement and approve the sustainability plan, which is what I call an implementation plan for our current master plan that we developed and approved back in 2020. Next slide. So why are we developing a sustainability plan? At one time it was called a business plan, but we're not business. Really what we're trying to do is sustain this farm and its benefit to the community in the future. And so how we're doing that, first and foremost, when we went to council, they kind of gave us two things we're really focused on. One is how do we improve community access to the property so that the community is aware of and can use that facility? And the second is how do we look at our business plan, our business practices, so that it is more self-sufficient to be able to continue to offer the same programs and opportunities for the community. Next slide. So we've got a timeline here. Back in 2022, wait, we're still here by a few days. In the fall, we established a steering committee. We have this open house here tonight. We're going to collect information from this, go back to our steering committee, and draft a draft plan. Doesn't sound right, but we're going to draft a draft plan during the winter. Come back in the spring, right before planting, we hope, to be able to present that those key initiatives and elements of that draft plan. You'll be able to look at it online as well and provide comments. And then take that feedback we get from the spring to refine the final plan to present to council. And that would be being forwarded on in the fall of next year. So hopefully, before Thanksgiving of next year, we'll have the sustainability plan presented, adopted, and then we can start moving forward on implementation elements. Next slide. Seeing so we have so many of you, I want to just recognize the steering committee, so your committee members, so you, the community, can see who they are and talk to them while you're here or out in the wild around the county. So we have up on the board, it says Eric Harrison, who is the operations supervisor who works for me on farm. Tonight we have Matt Bow, who is here. He's gonna be taking over for Eric. And so want to put a face behind the mask so everyone knows who that is. You'll be seeing him out working on the farm with our staff out there. There's Jim Kautz, I said it right, who is with our Parks Advisory Board. He's the vice chair for that. He's sitting in for Teresa Meyer, who's on the steering committee. We have Rob Freed. Rob, thank you. Rob is on the Heritage Farm Advisory Team and has been on the team for many years, since the beginning, I believe, if I remember correctly, 12 years. We got Christine Perry. There she is. She is the with the WSU Extension Program, and she is the interim chair, executive director for Extension Service. Yes. Clark County Extension Services Director. Did I get closer? Titles. Marcela Vengas Munoz. She is with the League of United Latin American Citizens of Southwest Washington and is part of the program that has a new lease out on the property. Bill Klein. Bill is with the Northeast Hazeldale Neighborhood Association. Isla Stenick. Oh, there is Isla. Isla is with the Hazeldale Salmon Creek Business Association. Tanika.
I don't think she's here.
And I'm going to say the last name and then you guys will make fun of me because I'm really bad with names some days. Sisoni.
Cisco.
I thought it was a soft C. Gosh darn. She's with the NAACP here in Vancouver. Zora Oppenheimer. Zora is with the Clark Conservation District. Mark Reith. See Mark. Mark is with the Vancouver School District. And Jaslyn
Falstick.
With Visit Vancouver, Washington. I don't think she's in the room, but she may be online tonight. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to David Stein, who is our planning and development manager, to talk about the master plan.
Thanks, Rocky. I'll take my mask off while I'm talking. So wanted to talk just real briefly about the master plan, the original sort of vision for the farm was drafted in 2010 and adopted by the council. And at some point in 2019, we started to develop a revised master plan for the site. And during that process, we had two community meetings, and there were four Heritage Farm Advisory Team meetings as a part of that process. That plan went back to the Planning Commission, which is a part of every master plan project that is worked on in the county. Then we had a council, two council work sessions on the new master plan, and then they adopted that plan in March of 2020. What that really did was it reaffirmed the larger programmatic elements of the 2010 plan, so, which is shown here. A system of trails, some outdoor facilities for interpretation, education, and family activities, to the 2020 master plan, which made some revisions to the park or the trail system, excuse me, to not segment the agricultural land so much. If you look at the 2010 master plan and you fast forward to the 2020 master plan, you'll see that there's been some revisions to the trail network, so we don't have trails cutting through the site, keeping a larger swath of land open for ag operations. There will be, during the development of future trail improvements, some modifications to the trail alignment, to a future trail alignment, so we make sure we have sustainable trail surfaces, so we don't have fault line surfaces, so we'll work through that as we make some of the future public access improvements. You can see some programmatic elements. They're largely the same from 2010 to 2020, which is a nice indication that the sentiment of the community who participated in the public process in the revision of the master plan has changed very little over the last 12, 13 years. And so we feel like we have a pretty well-baked plan for public access improvements at the property. Now we just need to work through the nuts and bolts of how we mold those improvements together with the ag operations. And so those include that multi-use trail, the boardwalk through the wetlands. We'd like to make a connection to Hazeldale Park. It is the community park to the south up on 68th, up the hill. There's a multi-use building planned in the northeast corner of the property that we've done some sort of further conceptual design work on, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. An outdoor classroom, and then obviously interpretive areas. Heritage Farm is all about agriculture and food production, and we'd like to tell that story to the community through increasing the access for the public. So, next slide. To that end, the implementation of the master plan, we've been working with our clean water partners on a wetland enhancement project on Cougar Creek that is about 60% complete design. I'm reviewing the plans right now, and our funding partner is also reviewing the plans. And then in the 23 to 28 capital improvement plan, we've identified some capital improvement money to make public access improvements on the property, which would focus on that northeast corner, probably not result in any sort of a enclosed building, but would focus on trails, some small picnic facilities, perhaps interpretive signage, hopefully a boardwalk, perhaps a picnic shelter, and maybe a public bathroom, just depending on the bidding environment and how far we can stretch that budget. So those are the plans that we have moving forward for implementation of the master plan. I thought it was worth mentioning just as a demonstration that we have sort of a long-term commitment to making improvements at the site in the spirit of the direction that we received from the council in 2020 to improve public access. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you. One of the ways that we've been collecting information and engaging the community is through a community survey. Many of you have already participated in the survey. We started in November, and we've been continuing on. What date did we say, Lindy? We'll continue.
January 6th.
So we'll be continuing to collect responses via the survey through January 6th. So if you have not taken the survey yet, we will have the opportunity to invite you to do that here this evening at the open house. We've distributed via email and publicized it on the website and social media. If you know anyone who you think should take the survey, we encourage you and ask you to help us spread the word. We'd love to hear from as many community members as possible on their thoughts on this really special feature here in Clark County. We've had a little over 1,000 responses. It's okay. About a little over half, 65%, are regular farm visitors. We have had quite a bit of response from folks who have yet to visit the farm or have seldom visited the farm, which is great too, because that's an opportunity to reach those folks and invite them to the farm. The most frequent activities that folks have reported participating in at the farm is WSU Extension Services, volunteer opportunities, farming and community gardens, and clubs. We also had folks respond that they have attended plant sales and events, the composter recycler program, and we had some staff that also responded to this survey. So the purpose of the survey is to collect information to ask, you know, what improvements listed in the master plan are most important to you. And the reason we want to know that is so that we can help build an implementation plan that reflects your values and your needs. We want to prioritize spending and ensure that the result reflects what you're looking for and looking to achieve at the farm. And we're asking, what new programs would you like to see at the farm? And why does this matter? It's because we want to know what additional activities would help attract new participants at the farm, new visitors to the farm. We want to help establish maybe some new funding sources for the facility and ensure that the results and the activities that are being posted on the property reflect what your needs and values are. So we're coming up on the portion of the evening for question and answer, but before we get there, we want to remind you that there's ways to participate here tonight. You can join the stakeholders list, which you have the opportunity to sign up on the sign-in sheet. If you haven't done that, we want to again remind you to please use the sign-in sheet and go ahead and sign up for the stakeholders list there. And also, if you're not comfortable or we don't get to your comment here this evening, please use the comment cards. That's a great way to share your feedback and your contact information with county staff. So the next open house will be in the spring. We haven't set the date yet, but please stay tuned for more details. The best way to hear about that is, again, to sign up for the stakeholders list. We'll send updates and information about this project to those list members as the project continues. So that brings us to question and answer. This room has one microphone, so I will be running back and forth to gather your comments and have you speak into the microphone. We have to use the microphone, one, to amplify our voice so everyone in the room can hear, but also so that virtual participants can hear the questions. So please speak into the microphone and state your name so that we can make sure we record that into the record as well. So if you could raise your hand if you have a question or comment, I will bring you the microphone.
Oh, did you remind them online that they can type it?
Thank you, Lenny. If you're online, please use the chat feature. We don't have a mic opportunity for you online, so please use the chat feature and we will read your question into the room. Thank you.
I think I saw the first question.
Are you planning to sell off any portions of the farm for development?
Oh, name. Oh. Sorry.
My name is Linda Netter.
So the question was, are we planning to sell off the county any portion of the farm? No.
Would you restate that though? You didn't sound transparent. Not to me. Sorry. So go back and ask a different question again.
The county does not plan on selling any portion of the farm. Is that
for redevelopment?
For development.
That's what she asked.
Period.
Okay.
So I didn't, if we're not looking to sell any portion of it, we're not looking to redevelop any of it. That's not part of any of the questions or processes that we've put forward so far. So we are looking to continue it as a farm.
Thank you.
My name is Wynn Gersich, and I'm here to ask about how toxic this is, because they were using sewage sludge to put on farms from the wastewater treatment plants, which is very toxic. It's got 80,000 chemicals in it, the forever chemical and the PFOAs. And I want to know if, there's a couple questions I want to know. I know Hazeldale is fluoridated. Are they using fluoridated water on this farm? Are they using sewage sludge from the wastewater treatment plant on this farm? This is all under the sustainability of the UN and the Green Initiative. And it's very important that we know this, because the prions that they put in these jabs are in that poop, and prions cannot be killed. So when they are using sewage sludge to grow our food in, it's in the crops. And the one thing this man was saying, he said they might put in a public bathroom. If you want all these volunteers and have these people work in this farm, you better put a public bathroom in. I'm from California, and a lot of this stuff that happened is the fact that they didn't put toilets for the people that worked on the farm. And they blamed all their diseases and stuff because people pooped and peed on the crops. So I would think if you're going to have something and want volunteers to work there, you better have a toilet that works. But I do want this answered about how, if this water is fluoridated, if you're using sewage sludge on this farm.
Rocky, can I ask you guys to come up here? Yeah, I'm sorry. David, would you mind so you can... I forgot about this.
Thank you for your question. If I understand the question correctly, you're asking, was there ever sewer sludge used on the farm?
On the farm.
I don't have that answer for you tonight.
You will look it up though, won't you?
We will record it and look into it, but I don't... I know it's been in operation for a long, long time. And I don't know if we'll look at our records. So I'm going
to
follow up with the...
You don't have to tell them it's toxic. That's a law. So if they're using sewage sludge, we do need to know.
The second question was something about fluoride. It's a well water. So it's well water for irrigation.
Okay.
So that's how we irrigate out there, is from groundwater. There are restrooms out there now, they're porta potties. And so what David was talking about is having an actual flush toilet there instead of porta potty. So we do have toilets there, and there are toilets in the administrative building currently.
And you have hand washing facilities too? The porta potties?
Yes, ma'am.
Some places don't. They have a porta potty, but nothing to wash your hands with.
We have questions online too.
I do have some questions online as well, Katie.
Yep.
Jackie Lane writes, what is the sustainability plan? It looks like you already have a master plan. Can you explain the difference?
So the primary difference is the council asked us to improve public access, which is actually a component of the master plan, but they also wanted to find ways to make the farm more financially sustainable, reduce the general fund obligations associated with operating the farm. One of the ways is to increase public access out there, because we can use recreation dollars to maintain certain portions of the property if they are recreation amenities. And so that's part of the reason for developing a sustainability plan, was because of the two larger requests by the council when they adopted the plan in 2020.
I think we're alternating between the room and online.
My name is Michelle Hoffman. I'm a Master Gardener volunteer working with the Master Gardener Foundation in the greenhouse operation on the farm. And we grow plants for the plant sale, Mother's Day plant sale in those greenhouses, and we lease and pay the county for those greenhouses. So my question is, what changes, if any, do you anticipate to out the operation that we depend on. We raise money that supports several of the activities on the farm, including the organic field, the veterans field, the farm to fork operation. So we raise money that is actually goes back to the farm. And we're a little bit concerned and curious about what changes might impact our ability to grow the plants and raise the funds from that facility. And secondarily, as you open up portions of the farm for public access, what do you anticipate doing to secure facilities like ours so that that the public doesn't start helping themselves to some of those plants that we are growing?
A lot of what you're asking is yet to be determined as a part of this sustainability plan development. And with regards to specificity when it comes to security and safety, those elements would be addressed during the sort of design development process of any initial public access improvements. But the information that you're relating to us here is important information for the team and the steering committee when they're developing that sustainability plan. If we don't, we generally know some of these things, but we don't know specifics. And that's part of the steering committee's responsibility when they're working on this draft sustainability plan. When we initially started this process, we envisioned the steering committee being the group of people that informed a majority of the issues, initiatives, goals, and objectives in that sustainability plan. Obviously, there are sideboards to that when it comes to finance and future development and security. And those sideboards will be a part of the conversation until we have that plan adopted by council. And then there'll be further conversation moving beyond the sustainability plan when we start to implement certain public access elements within the plan. That's why we're here, is to collect information. That's why we have a steering committee. That's why we have a sign-in list with your option to sort of opt into the stakeholder list so you can be a part of this conversation. So
online, Heather Tishbane asks, what is the plan to permanently protect the farm as ag land so that it could not ever be developed for residential or commercial purposes, to protect the entire property in perpetuity for food production?
Forget about the mask. So again, I think similar to what David just said on the last question, is your input helps inform us in regards to it. Our plan is to continue it as a farmer to do that. In regards to what those mechanisms would be to provide some sort of overlay from a planning perspective or a covenant, those are all things that we would be considered. I know council had identified some of those similar questions recently. And are looking to this process to help inform us, the county, on the, what we do and for.
So the very word sustainability is used by the United Nations One World Order and depopulation agendas. And I just have a short little sentence here, then I'll ask my questions. And that is what is happening now. Sustainability is followed in the United Nations and is a business, I must say, Rocky. So how many citizens here know our heritage here in Clark County? I suggest that at least half of the steering committee moved here, so, and may have these socialists pushing agendas. And these are people that are in our local governments right now, including Vancouver City Council, the Clark County Council, and the Clark County Board of Health, which actually are one and the same. With that said, are there the plants that are grown here, are they GMO plants, that's genetically modified organisms? Do the foods go to food banks, to the poor, or to churches? And is the food sold in the farmers markets? Thank you. And I'd like to know a little history how you gained the properties here, because I think in the socialist state that we're under right now, they take our properties. So I was under the understanding that this was a privately owned farm. Excuse my ignorance on that, but I'd like to know the history. Thank you.
The first question we had was, are there GMO seed or crops on this property? I don't have that answer to you tonight. I don't believe we have any restrictions on that, but I'll have to check with staff to follow later. The other question is, where does food go? So that depends upon who's growing it. So we have community gardens there, and however those community members who rent those little plots to grow food, they're in charge of where that food goes. We have the food bank as a tenant on site, and I forget the huge number, but I think it was 80,000 pounds of food was grown there that went to feed Clark County residents, the community members. Other food crops that are on there, I know there's been research over the years and other things, and so I don't know if it goes to the market, the farmers markets you reference, or where that goes beyond that. I know a lot of the food that's grown there is from the food bank and goes to that. In regards to how did the county acquire the property, so about 150 years ago, it was given to the county in lieu of back taxes, I believe is how that occurred. So there were some taxes that were owed, and this 80 acres roughly was given to the county in lieu of payment for that.
By the Anderson family.
And just to expand on that a little bit, it was operated for quite some time as a poor farm, and then it went through various organizational transitions from different agencies within the county, and I don't recall how long we've been operating it as the main sort of property operator.
So in, I think it was 1947, it was transferred to WSU as a, what was the give me if I get this wrong, a research station?
Experiment station.
All right, I'll get the right words. And then in 2009, it was transferred back to the county. So we've been operating it since 2009. And it was operated as a poor farm in the late 1890s until about that 1947 date. I know there was another program that extended over into use, and I can't remember exactly what that is, after it was transferred to WSU for a few years. I don't know if that was 20 years or what that was exactly. And the previous owners were the Anderson family.
Right.
We had homesteaded in this area, and it was more property than that.
And also the history of the, the history of the farm is available on our Heritage Farm website, and also I believe at the on the Heritage, or no, the Friends of the Farm, I believe you have information on the history of the farm as well. And if you have any other questions about it, you can email me or the PW Parks website or email address, and I'll do my best to respond to you. But the poor farm, I believe, was utilized to for folks who were unable to pay their taxes or take care of themselves. They were able to come to the farm, live there, and work and farm. And I believe some of that food at that time went to the hospitals in town. And there's probably a lot more history than that. Oh, sorry. We do not have one.
We're gonna go to
thank you, and thank you for this time.
Your name?
Mark Holt. In 2009, I was former county commissioner, and myself, the county manager, county legal team, WSU legal team, and the president sent quite a while to negotiate a deed to get it back into the county's hands, and we have that deed. In that deed, there's a very important sentence in that whatever happens in the planning shall be gone with the WSU extension with their agreement. So I don't know if that has been read, but that is in the deed that we have. So that is really the only way we got that land from WSU, is that we would work with WSU research and to continue forward. So I hope as we move forward that that little sentence will be relevant.
Hi, Mona Personnel. I am a resident of Clark County for about 38 years, something like that. We have volunteered on the farm for nearly 10. I'm also the chairperson of the Washington State Independent Living Council and a lifelong disability advocate. So my question is around access. Not only DEI, but access. There are no accessible raised beds. You couldn't get to the short little ones that you couldn't bend over to reach anyway with the wheelchair. So I'm hopeful that there will be intentional access for this population, for Clark County, so that they can have access to healthy outdoor activity, growth of food, engagement with others who enjoy that, for lifelong fitness and wellness and well-being. So I'm happy to help advise about that. I've been advocating for disability stuff for about 40 years. So I have lots of ideas and certainly have lots of stakeholders really willing and interested in getting involved. They see how we're involved, but they have barriers to that involvement.
Can I respond to that comment?
And first of all, I want to thank you for making the comment. It's something that I'm well aware of as a public facilities planner and designer for nearly 25 years. It's been a big part of my career. I helped develop the ADA transition plan for Oregon State Parks. I'm aware of the access limitations and not just at Heritage Farm, but throughout our property system. And a big part of the public access improvements that we plan to do in somewhere between 25 and 28, depending on the wetland project, we'll focus on improving access to some of the parts of the property that right now are problematic. Getting across Cougar Creek and doing anything across Cougar Creek, if you have any mobility challenges, is almost impossible. So thank you for the comment.
Nearly as difficult as accessing this meeting tonight. The lights out in the elevator and so far from the parking area. But just
I hung my head in shame.
Representing all those people who couldn't get past those barriers.
But we can't even change a light bulb.
Thank you.
Are there any online questions?
No.
Hi, Kristen and Pratt. Thank you for giving us the space to have conversation about this. My question to you is around the recreational spaces. Is that foregone and gonna happen, or is that still in the discussion?
Depends on what you mean by foregone and gonna happen.
Could you repeat your question?
The question was the recreation improvements at the site, is that a foregone conclusion and gonna happen, or is there still room for conversation? So, and my response is, it just really depends on what you mean by a foregone conclusion. My definition of a master plan, and it's the definition that we're trying to clarify as a planning and development group, is that a master plan is a diagram that represents certain programmatic elements. They may not be in the exact location that they're currently in the drawing itself, but it represents a vision for what might occur at the site if you were to overlay those sorts of improvements. The trail may not be in the exact location, an outdoor classroom may not be in the exact location, because you don't, during a master plan process, have the basic, the site information you might need to make the locational decisions that you might need to make. It's just a vision for the property moving forward. So if you were wanting to add something to the master plan at the expense of some other use on the site, we would have to go through a master plan revision process. If you were wanting to eliminate something that excluded a user group or a group that participated prominently in the development of the master plan, because we do this to develop master plans, then we would have to revise the master plan. That means going back to the public, going back to our Parks Advisory Board, back to the council. We're doing that right now on Pacific Park because we want to add 4 pickleball courts to the Pacific Park Community Park. And it's not in the master plan. And so we've had a public meeting, we've taken public comment, and so we would have to do that if we were going to say add recreation amenity X or remove recreation amenity Y. Online question?
No, we said 5.
Yeah, just a couple more minutes for questions.
Danny Brown, and this might relate to the question a little bit, and that you had on your plan talking about your 2025 to 2028 that you were starting to work on your trails and picnic areas and so on. Is that something that you're actively putting together budget proposals and plans to do that as part of, as an answer to the master plan, or will that be part of the discussion with the sustainability group and then move forward with those things? So I'm confused about how they go together or are they separate?
Okay. You're not going to like my answer.
My answer is yes. It's hard to advance anything in the master plan without having this conversation first. And this conversation and the elements within the sustainability plan will inform how we develop, what we develop, where we develop it. We're very mindful of the potential conflict between ag operations and recreation. I was involved for years with a project in Wenatchee, Washington, where we were putting a trail through the middle of orchards. And we worked through the safety concerns and the theft concerns and developed a strategy to implement a 6-mile extension of the Apple Capitol Loop Trail that satisfied as many of the concerns as possible. As planners, if I have a group of people over here that's not 100% satisfied and a group of people over here that's not 100% satisfied, I know I'm doing my job. That's unfortunate, but that's what planning is when you're trying to realize something, a program, a project that is in the community's best interest, not just in a certain community group's best interest. So when we get the sustainability plan, we'll start adding some meat to the bones of the master plan. I do have a layout for the northeast corner of the property for full disclosure, because we're trying to make sure that the wetland project doesn't impact any of the development opportunities for recreation or other amenities associated with the site, because there will be regulatory boundaries when Cougar Creek is approved. So we have done some site planning, but it's just my vision, it's not the community's vision. I can see having a meeting like this to talk about where trails are, where a boardwalk might be, and where a picnic shelter might be, and a public bathroom, another public bathroom. So we do what the community wants if we're doing our job right.
We have time for one more question.
Yeah. No questions online?
Just two.
Oh, you have two?
No, we had two.
I am president of the Lulac Foundation that runs Lulac Road here on Perry Farm. I have a basic question based on the conversations tonight. I have some friends that are farmers on the left, friends that are farmers on the right. They actually produce other farms. Perry Farm has less than a third of the property that actually works in agriculture. And you continue to talk about it being ag land. Rocky, thank you very much for declaring that on record that it remained in ag land. But the parks aspect of everything you talk about remains the confusing part for most people. When you talk about trails, Joe, do you and Bill have trails on your farm? I think the answer is no. So are we looking at a park or are we looking at a farm? Because those are two different entities. By all means, I understand the recognition of a community farm that's owned by the county. But for 12 years, we've treated it like a park and put it under parks and recreation for management, when it is in fact agricultural land and intentionally built for agricultural land, but we do not treat it like that. So my question at the end of that long statement is, does the planning session ever consider the fact that it's a farm and not a park? Thank you.
And I think the question is it a park? Is it a farm? Is it agricultural? What is the planned use for the property? And what I'll have to fall back on is the 2020 master plan and what we have is a land use document and how we're going to be operating the facility, which is, again, as David talked, is a conceptual plan in regards to program elements. And we all, the community, had identified and we got approved the master plan there that does have some recreational and educational elements. So that's where we're going. We're continuing to get information on what that looks like and whether, you know, if we're thinking about a volume, you know, there's Klein Line Park or right here at Luke Jensen Park in regards to a bandwidth in regards to park elements versus other natural resource elements or other elements. And I think this property at the farm provides us that opportunity where it's not going to be Luke Jensen ever, never has been, but does that mean that it does not preclude trails and opportunities for the public to understand and learn about agriculture and have some of those things that were identified? And I think that's where I understand the vision to be in the master plan and kind of where we will be going. Again, based off of information we got in the sustainability plan, and at every project that we move forward, we will continue to engage with the public on what that looks like and what that will look like on the ground. Anything to add, David?
Yeah, I'd just like to add one thing. There are some guiding principles in the master plan document, and principle among them is that it continues to be used for agricultural purposes and to teach people about ag practices and the importance of food and food production. And that's always going to be a part of what we do when we start to develop the master plan. But I'm bound by a document that was adopted by council and the direction that was given by council until my leadership tells me otherwise. Do I revisit the master plan or do I develop a capital improvement plan that has $1.5 million in it sometime between 25 and 28 to do public access improvements at the park? And right now, that's where we are.
I don't have a question, but I do have a comment. So in 2010, when I was at Clark County Planning Commission.
Hold on just a second. Yeah, so we have two online questions, and actually three, but two of them are similar. So Robin Summers asks, how is and will the farm be paid for? That's pretty simple, if you want to.
So the farm currently is a general fund property. And so that is how it is funded right now, through general funds. as we move forward and we look at our sustainability plan and looking at those other funding streams, you know, that could change over time, but currently it's a general fund property.
Let's do the final one from online. So this will be the final question online. Jackie Lane and Heather Tishbane both asked, do any other parks turn a profit? Why should Heritage Farm? Do other parks have sustainability plans?
Do any other properties make a profit? Parks. Thank you. In Clark County, depends upon where you're at. So our park system is divided into two different funding streams and is supported through either a levy within the Metropolitan Park District or the Greater Clark Park District, as it's formerly called. We also have general fund parks outside of that. We do charge some fees, parking, rentals, field rentals here at Luke Jensen. So I don't believe we have any property that is profitable. And again, this plan's initiative is not to make profit at the farm. That's not the directive. It's looking at how do we improve our business practices there to reduce the dependency on general fund and to make sure that it's sustainable, meaning that's going to be there for generations to do the same programming we have. We do provide a review of properties, much like here at Luke Jensen, in regards to where our any revenues that we do generate, how they offset the other support from the community. So again, we do look at that and look at that cost recovery. And that's consistent with a lot of park districts throughout the nation.
Just want to warn everybody in the room that everybody outside can hear what you're saying. So no cuss words. The gentleman just came up and said that he can hear our conversation out there on the ball field. So.
We are out of time for comments.
I work here on this farm 2 summers. I loved it. I learned it was the best education I had to work here. I did all sorts of interesting things. How much I worked on it. We had an automatic bead picker we were learning on here. And it tore down more wires and posts. But I it was fun, you know. One of the hardest jobs I had was pruning raspberries in September. It was horrid. It's hot. You're down in the midst of everything. And the things are crawling at your arms and you're cutting out the dead wood, you know, and dragging it out. And then you got a chance to go over to the park and have some water. It was so great here. But it was the best thing in the world for me. Every time I went to college, I thought, oh, I really don't want to be doing here. Oh, you could be in the raspberries. And you went back to studying. It was the best thing in the world for a young lad to learn here because we had really good mentors here that taught you about the harvest and about what to do and how to work hard and to get along with the other. I got along with the older gentleman. You know, it was the best education I could have. I wanted, and how many colleges make a profit? All make a profit. They send youngsters back out into the world that are adults and are knowledgeable. That's what the product of a university is. And it costs us taxpayers a lot of money to do that. This is a learning facility. It's not just for the profit. It's a learning facility.
Thank you.
And we need to keep it. Yes.
Thank you for your feedback. We have a limited amount of time tonight. The event is not over.
I need to say this. In 2010, when the master plan was adopted, I was a planning commissioner. One of the things that we heard that I did not hear today was that this is a very important, not just local, but regional historic resource, as well as educational opportunity for future farmers of America to keep all of us improved, because that's a national security issue.
Amen.
And what you are doing tonight, you basically want to get business plan, but not even mention the history behind the whole project as to why we saved it when it was supposed to be developed for a subdivision. There are beautiful vista views from up on top, the only one here in the flat area. And you can see the mountains. And kids enjoy being on that farm. That's the only access most of them have, especially those that will be future farmers of America.
Now, when I answered the question back there, right early on when the second man spoke, he slipped and said parks.
Yep.
He said, we are speaking about parks. I mean, and went on from there. You can look it up on the record.
I did say that. I'm a park planner, and
you don't take care of your parks.
I don't take care of the parks. That's not my job. I'm a park planner. I've been here for about a year. And I'm still learning the system. And I see Heritage Farm as a place for everyone that has a focus on agriculture. I see it as a park, though. I see it as a park that interprets the importance of food and food systems. That's how I see it. And when I slip up and say park, I realized I said the word park when I was doing my presentation, but I don't shy away from being proud of that statement. I want people to understand what it takes. This gentleman here, Ivy Castle Corn for 3 summers. I know what cut up arms and 95% humidity in the Midwest is like. So it's a very, very important site, and we're going to treat it that way. And it would be much more productive if we tried to bury the hatchet on some of these things that have been said in the past and work on the things that we're trying to portray for the future. If we continue to talk about subdivisions, and how somebody slipped up one time and said, well, we should just sell the damn place. I said a cuss word in the video. If we just continue to have that conversation, we're not going to get anywhere. We want to take this master plan, move it forward, figure out how to change the color of money so there's not as big a spotlight on this property and how much it costs. If we can start using recreation dollars to do some of the maintenance and improvement there, there will be less attention paid to it. The more general fund money that's spent there, the more the spotlight is on the property.
Remember that site is also under historic preservation.
I am fully aware of that. I am fully aware of that. I understand the historic preservation rules. Anything that we do out there will need to make sure that it's sensitive to the contributing aspects to the site, and contributes and doesn't detract from the aspects of the site that make it historic. So I'm fully aware of that.
Farm needs to double in size because we're going to have food shortages. We have fertilizer shortages.
Okay.
And we don't need any more recreation.
Taking away from the user groups.
We have come to the end of the question and comment period. If you have a question or comment, The event is open from 5 to 7. The event's not ending. The public comment portion of the event.
Excuse me,
what?
How about sewer stuff?
Oh.
You can have a separate conversation.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. So if you have questions or comments that we were not able to get to this evening, we do want to invite you again to use the comment card. You also can email your questions or comments into the county for to get an answer. And we again want to encourage you to sign up for the Seaful Process. So with that, we want to invite you to continue to mingle with the volunteers at the farm and learn more about what's going on. Thank you.
Thank you.